Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to 2015. It's me, Dr. Beverly, of Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. This is such an exciting year, and we are starting it off powerfully and strong. Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough is a radio broadcast that brings in real people to share real stories of their trials, their journeys, turbulence that has plagued them in their lives, but they're also sharing their testimonies of great faith and great victories. Now, I'm not going to waste any time because we have a very, very special featured guest that has decided that she wants to start this year by sharing her journeys to help others move into their greatness as she is soaring into hers. Now, who am I talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, my special featured guest today is Ruthie Bolton, and I'm going to share with you information about her. Now, I got to tell you, hold on to your coattails because this is a very dynamic woman. Now, Ruthie is Bolton. She's one of the most accomplished female athletes in the world. She is a two-time Olympic gold medalist, a United States of America Basketball Female of the Year, Sports Illustrated Best Woman Athlete by Home State, and one of only four players, ladies and gentlemen, to be named to the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2011. Now, it may be surprising to learn that Ruthie was told you can't do it before every major milestone of her athletic career. Now, in college, she was told that she would not even play, but she remains in the Auburn University record books to this very day. And she was the first Lady Tiger to have her number retired. Now, in her 4 years at Auburn, Ruthie led her team to a combined record of 119 wins to only 13 losses, including three Southeastern Conference Championships for NCAA tournaments and two NCAA runner-up finishes. Now, after college, she was not even invited to try out for the United States national team, a team which she later led to a gold medal in 1996. Now, just 2 years later, she was told she would never play basketball again due to a torn ACL. Yet, she reclaimed her spot on the national team and brought them to a second gold medal in the year of 2000. Now, mighty Ruthie Bolton was the original franchise player for the WNBA's Sacramento, California Monarchs. Now, she has scored over 2,000 career points. She is fourth on the WNBA's all-time three-pointer list, and she's the only player in the history of the Monarchs to have her number retired. Now, she's been on the cover of Sports Illustrated, a guest on Regis Philbin and David Letterman. And, of course, She's even done Nike commercials. Now, Ruthie believes that her gifts, and this is what I so love about her, she believes that her gifts are to be used for a higher purpose, to inspire others and to let their light shine and perform at their best. And this is her quote. She said, "If I am only remembered for being a basketball player, I believe that I will have failed in my job on this planet." Phenomenal. Now, Ruthie's off-the-court accomplishments include being a first lieutenant in the Army, the first national spokeswoman for the WNBA's Play Fit, Stay Fit youth development program, and she has a phenomenal voice, and she has released a gospel CD entitled Making a Way. Now, she is 16 out of a very close family of 20 children. And I believe that her book is released, that she has written an autobiography entitled The Ride of a Lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, please come and join me in the broadcast in honoring this dynamic woman, Ms. Ruthie Bolton. Ruthie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay!
How you doing, Dr. Beverly? How you doing?
I am truly blessed. I'm well, and it's wonderful to have you on the air with us. I will need you, though, to speak up much louder so that our audience can hear you well. Wonderful to have
okay.
you. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
All right, thank you for having me. Can you hear me a little bit better now?
A little bit. If you can bring up the volume, it would be great.
Okay, let's see.
And while you're doing that, you know, that's better. Now, when I scheduled the broadcast, we're talking about how you have a story of faith and attitude and resilience of your hard work and perseverance. Now, it's amazing to me how, the world operates like this, and they see someone in the limelight, famous. They're so busy looking at the accomplishments that they don't understand that in every personality that we have before us, whether it is TV, movies, or athletics, they're still alive. They are still human beings. They are still individuals that have challenges just like the rest of us. And I'm so honored that you are willing to be transparent, to open up and share your life with our audience and the things that you've endured. But we're going to be specific, if that's okay. You ready to get started?
I'm ready to get started, yes.
Okay. Now, when we were talking, you were sharing with me that there was a very challenging time and period in your life that you were suffering during the highlight of your career with domestic violence at home, and that surprises our audience. Can you share what happened there?
Yes, it was you know, in my career, in my basketball career, I fought hard, I worked hard, you know, I did whatever it took to get the job done. You know, if you said no, I turned no into a yes, so I was able to fix setbacks and, you know, difficult times, but in my marriage, in my personal life, I felt that was, I couldn't get a grasp on my situation. I felt vulnerable. I felt weak. I felt that I wasn't in charge, and I felt like I was losing control of my own personal life and my marriage because I was experiencing domestic violence, and I knew I thought I could fix this. I could make this right. And the more people would tell me, you know, you got to get out of this situation, you need to leave, the more people told me to leave, the more I wanted to stay because I had a habit of defying the odds and turning no into yes and overcoming challenges and fighting to the end. But I was trying to do the same thing in my marriage, and what was my strength all of a sudden became my weakness. And which I didn't really know at the time, but I was just like, no, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to fix it. And I really, really tried so hard to make it work. I tried so hard to, you know, to fix the problem. I just like, you know, Lord, whatever it takes, you know, I didn't know if victory was staying or leaving, but whatever I have to endure, I wanted to do that. If it, you know, even put my life at danger, it's like, I got to fix this. I got to make this right, because I've done it in my basketball career. I've made it right. You know, I wasn't supposed to be playing basketball according to challenges and became an Olympian. So I felt like in my personal life I could do the same thing, and I was going to look back and people going to say, man, you turned it around. And that's what I was always visioning, that I could turn a bad situation into a great situation if I just endure, if I just persevere, which is what I was used to doing, persevering. And that's what I was really hoping definitely that I could do in my marriage.
Now, that's interesting, because listening to you share, it sounds like you had to fight all your life to achieve the things that you've accomplished. Have you?
Oh, yeah, I knew a whole lot about fighting. You know, I don't mind fighting. You know, I know there's a quote that I love, that, you know, we miss out on opportunities because they come in work clothes. So I don't mind working, but sometimes when you fight in a losing battle, and I think that in my marriage, I felt like if I just fought hard, no matter, even if he didn't fight much, if I fought hard, I could make this right. And it took me a while to understand that both have to fight just as hard. It has to be a 50-50, that I can't fight, you know, 100%, and he fights 20%, that it has to be 50-50. But I was determined to do whatever I took to make it work. You know, this was my, you know, first marriage. This was my first, you know, person that I fell in love with, and I wanted to make this marriage work. And I'm like, I know it. I'm like, I didn't want to fail. I was so used to just turning things around. Like, I didn't want to fail in my marriage. I know I can make this work. No matter what people say, I'm going to press, and I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to be someone that, you know, gave up. And that's what I felt like when marriages didn't work. I was looking at, they gave up, they didn't fight to the end. And I was just used to fighting, and I fought and I fought and I fought. And then just had, you know, I came to a point where it's like, I just had to, you know, my father, you know, he said it's okay to fight. And he said it's okay to fight for your marriage. And people on the outside can look in and say, you shouldn't do that, but you're the one in that situation. He said, I will support you. You know, I want you to be happy. He said, don't be timid or don't be embarrassed about fighting for your marriage. He said, but one thing I will say, that if that person ever directly threatened your life, he said, you know, I'm a minister. I've been a preacher for 50 years. You know, he said, but at that point, I would stop praying, and I would get out of Dodge, you know, I would get destructive, because that, you have to take that serious, because your life could be taken. So he did say, if he ever directly threatened you, please take it seriously, daughter, and walk away. And those,
so your father was a preacher. Your father was a preacher. So, and that's what I was going to ask you. Where did you get such perseverance and determination to be such a fighter? What was your inspiration? All your life.
You know, it's funny. I was just in Hong Kong, China, and they speak really good English. And I was speaking to a group of kids, and several of the kids, you know, came up to me afterwards and say, "Oh, you've done so many amazing things, and your story is so amazing. But what is it like? What made you fight? What, you know, what made you persevere? Like, what was that? You know, because there were so many times in my journey that I could have turned around. I could have walked away. Even in my basketball career, I could have." You know, when I didn't get recruited out of high school, I could have said, you know what, forget it. Or when I didn't get invited to a national trial, I could have just walked away. Or when I had my injury, I could have just said, forget it. But what helped me fight and what gave me that hunger was really my dad. My dad was like, he was my rock. He was so powerful. He was so positive. he was so just, he was just my driving force, because he always painted a picture of life being simplified life. And I know he would say often, he said, daughter, many times he would call me daughter because he couldn't remember my name with there being 12 girls. But he would say, daughter, if you're taking life with you just a few principles, you won't have to carry your suitcase full of rules. He said, if you're taking life just a few principles, you won't have to carry a suitcase full of rules. I said, Dad, what does that mean? He said, that means that you got to simplify your life. There are some things that, you know, you got to live your faith, your attitude is your mindset, and your work ethic. He said, those three things that nobody can take from you. He said, so that's the formula that you approach every situation, is that you got to have faith, and you got to believe that, you know, God's purpose will be fulfilled. And he said, your attitude, your mindset, he said, you have to, there's some work that you have to do. You have to, your mindset has to be that, you know what, I'm going to work hard. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. And then you have to work at it. You know, he said, you have to, those things that you got to do no matter what, your faith, your attitude, and your work ethic, those are things that sums up your character. And he just would instill that over and over again. And he didn't budge. He said, you know what, this is how I live my life. In every situation growing up, he would always present these three different things. It got embedded in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, because he would have this, he would have a thing, this quote on every door in the house, that life is 10% of what happens to you. And 9% how you respond to it. And growing up that time, I'm thinking, man, is this man like overdoing it? Is he putting too much emphasis on attitude? Is it that serious? Is that, you know, is it that important? And as I live my life, I understand that it really is your mindset, your approach. So he definitely instilled in me that mindset, that hunger, that fight, and that just not really giving people your power. He said, you know, when I wanted to play basketball and I wasn't recruited and I wanted to give up, I did. I wanted to just walk away. He said, this is here. He said, you will look back and you will always wonder, what if? He said, don't give this school that much power. Don't give this coach your power. He said, if that door of opportunity closed, get through that window. That window may be small, but get through that window of opportunity. So he always had an amazing way to look at things. He just painted a picture of hope, a picture of like, you know what? This is simple. This is okay. I can do this. So he always just gave me just a pathway to just pursue. And for that, I thank him tremendously. And of course, my mom played her role too. But they were just really were my foundation. They gave me such a foundation to go off the court. So I feel like now living my father's legacy, giving back, you know, trying to use my life, trying to use my story, trying to use my pain, trying to use the things I went through to impact other people's lives. To me, that's my biggest mission right now, is to impact other people's lives through my story.
Well, I tell you, he is a true man of God, because he is speaking exactly what the word says, which is why I do this broadcast, one of the two that I do. And we're going to kind to say them again. Your father taught about the principles. He's talking about the principles of the kingdom that are unfailing. And you said, he said, simplify your life. It is amazing to me, Ruthie, how people complicate God. He's not complicated. His message is love. It's simple. It's, you know, it's not a complicated thing. And faith, how important faith is. And faith means you never give up. You never stop. Because either you believe or you don't. And how important your attitude, oh my, one's attitude is everything. As you're going through trials and tribulations, and we all do, and we all will, but we have to maintain an attitude of love, an attitude of perseverance, and an attitude that says, I will not stop, and I will not give up. Either faith is or it's not. And he talked about mindset. It is a mindset. It's a mindset that one's mind must grasp. If they can grasp it, there's nothing they fail at. And he talked about purpose. Every one of us has a purpose. And that purpose is going to be fulfilled if they do exactly what he taught you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Never stop and never give up. Don't let that window close. without you attempting to get through it. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how far down it is. As long as it's open, it's open. I commend your father. And he has instilled mightiness in you. You're right. There is absolutely nothing that you will not be able to accomplish then, now, or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. And you mentioned something about Mighty. You know, my my nickname was called Mighty Ruthie. And it's a song that was I did a Nike commercial back during the Olympics, and they aired that on national TV. But and actually, it's a subtopic on my book also, to making a Mighty Ruthie. And I know many times when I go and speak, I always try to simplify that. When I share that, I say, this is not an arrogant statement that I'm mighty and look at me on all this, and it's not a bragging statement. It just, you know, I said, give me a moment to take you down memory lane. Give me a moment to share with you why I'm called Mighty Bowls. It's not that I'm mighty, it's my work that has been mighty, and that God has given me a mighty opportunity to, you know, spread his word, you know, and to use my talent, which he gave me, and also to spread his word. So it's interesting, you know, Mighty Ruthie, because it's become sort of my, you know, nickname, but it's, and I love it because it, like I said, it's not a proud thing, but it's about this mighty journey that God has given me in this platform, and to really spread his word and his grace, and to let people know, kids know, you know, grown-ups, adults know, whoever going through challenges, that it doesn't, you know, everybody, there's no one exempt. I'm not exempt. It doesn't matter if I am a 2-time Olympian, you know, 4-time Hall of Famer. I'm not exempt from life struggles. Trust me, the devil doesn't chase anything that's not moving for God. So he's constantly, you know, trying to get in my path. But with my father's guidance and the foundation he's given me, I know it's helped me to that, you know, it's to move forward. You know, if you fall down, you know, that's okay. The key is that if you, and that has to be the mentality, is that that's what I look at every day, okay? How can I make this day better than the day before? And how can I use, you know, maybe my setbacks or my imperfections to impact other people's lives? So that's my mission. Is, you know, it's not just about me, but how can I use my story, how can I use my flaws or my weaknesses that, you know, to help other people, things that I've had to go through. And I don't profess to be perfect. Trust me, I've had my mistakes, but I know that at the end of the day that God is bigger in any situation, and that in my after school program is actually called Aim High, because I've learned how to aim higher than any circumstances, because if you let the weight of the world, if you let circumstances determine your joy, you'll live in this world just, you know, chasing yourself, and you'll live a depressed life. If all you had is just what you see here, you have to know that there's something bigger than you, and that there's something bigger than any situation that you're going through. And borrowing my brother's quote is that a setback is always a setup for a comeback. So no matter how many setbacks you have, you got to believe that you can come back from it and you can break through from it. Because if God can bring, if he bring you to it, no matter what it is, he can bring you through it. And that's my everyday message, you know, to myself and to, you know, people that I get a chance to share with.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've just joined us on the air, we are talking with Ruthie Bolton. And Ruthie Bolton is an accomplished female athlete. She is a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. She is in the United States of America Basketball Female of the Year, Sports Illustrated Best Woman Athlete by Home State, and so much more. She's sharing her journey of the challenges that she has had in her life with domestic violence and so much more. But this, the focus is not domestic violence here. The focus is for Ruthie sharing how in the midst of the challenges that, you know, one goes through with faith and determination and the principles and the love for God, you can continue forward in the things that God has given you to do. And she's sharing how to do that. She is sharing that you cannot let the pain of life keep you from what the Lord has promised. Now, Ruthie, you were telling me that you were going through the gist of this during the highlight of your career. So
yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, I was actually, you know, during the Olympics and during that journey, it went on for about, you know, 6 or 7 years, but it was very intense, you know, during the World Championship, which was in 94, and then during the Olympics, the training for the Olympics in 95, 96, so for like 2 or 3 years, it was probably the most intense time. And it really, I look back and I wonder, like, man, God sustained me through that. And he sustained me through that. And I was playing my best basketball. And I guess it was a situation where, you know, I couldn't control my personal life. I felt like I couldn't get a grasp on it. But on the court, I felt like that was in my comfort zone. And I felt like I was playing my best basketball during that time. And I just, you know, I don't know, it was just that. And that was a place on the court is where I wanted to be. It's where I felt free. It's where I felt that I was, and, you know, I just felt good. And I'm like, you know, yeah, if I need to score 30 points, yeah, I got this. You know, if I need to defend someone that averaging 30 points to just 2 points, I got this. So I felt like, you know, my on the court it was easy, but I just couldn't get a grasp on my personal. It's like, I'm like, how can I know I can fix this? Like, I always felt like, okay, the next day, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right the next day. I'm going to get it right, you know, and just you know, try to get a grasp on it. It was just, you know, and a lot of people during that time didn't know what I was, you know, going through, and I didn't display it. Because I'm like, you know, I got this. I'm good. I can handle this. I can fix this. You know, just give me a little more time. And then I blame myself for it. I felt like, if, you know, for I know a man that I know loved me, my first love. I know he loves me because he never forgets my birthday. He never forgets my anniversary. And I know without a doubt that he loves me. But it's like, it must be something that I'm doing wrong. It must be something that I'm, you know, so I'm like, I can fix it. I just got to figure out what is it that I'm not doing. So that I can.
It's something how we blame ourselves. And, you know, not once have you said anything about him doing his part or meeting you halfway. Isn't it something as a woman how we blame ourselves in this? And that's why we think we have to be the one that fixes it, which it's not correct. And you know what? We know that in our heart. But you're right. When you're so used to fighting and making it through, we tend to take it on as another challenge that we're just going to have to fight and make it through. Which brings me to, you said to me, fearful and guilt. What did you mean by that, Ruthie?
Fear and guilt. I wasn't perfect in my, and that's one of the biggest things. I made some mistakes, you know, during my marriage and I've always been, you know, I saved myself for my husband. He was my first, you know, in college, and I felt good about that. And so I felt like, this is the man I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I'm going to have kids by this man. And that's why it was so hard for me to leave, because it's like, you know, this is who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. But anyway, in the midst of my struggle in the marriage and trying to survive, I made a mistake, and I went outside the marriage. And I felt like it was the hardest thing for me to accept, that like I couldn't believe that I would do that. And I felt guilty. I felt like, you know what, Lord, I deserve whatever I'm getting. and I deserve that. So the guilt, I said, if it kills me, if that's what it takes for me to get this right, then I'll do it. If it, I'll endure it. And that's what I want to make it right, Beverly. I want to fix it. And I was so, I was so embarrassed and so disappointed with myself. It's like, how could I do something like this when I know when I made this, I know how I was raised. And I said, Lord, if I could, whatever it takes for me to get it right with you again, I'll do that. If it's endure what I went through in my marriage, I felt like God was punishing me through, I felt like that was part of my punishment. And I felt like it by the hands of my husband. And I said, it didn't matter. If that's what it took for me, God's eyes again, that's what I would endure. It didn't matter what people would say. You know, if this is what it takes for me to get it right, that's what I was going to do, because the guilt. And I was going to stay there. And then, like I said, it cost my life. And I just, I don't know, it was tough. And I was very, very, very disappointed about myself. And even at that time, I said, Lord, why don't you allow me to persevere in basketball and to do the things I've done, to win world championships, to win the Olympics. Like, I just felt like I didn't deserve it because of what I had done. And I just, like, you know, but you blessed me, and my basketball career is going great. Look at what I'm doing. So I started to get confused a little bit, and I just, like, Lord, you know, so I just constantly prayed and just, like, forgive me for what I've done. And if I just want to make it right. I want to hear God say, you know what, you okay now. And I just, it took me a while to hear that. It took me a while to feel that I was forgiven. And so I felt like, I don't know, it was weird. I felt like, until my husband said that was enough, I felt like that's when it was going to be enough. And believe it or not, before we renewed our vows in 96, he said, I think you suffered enough. And so it was like I was treating it like he was the one that, until that God forgiving me was going to be through his forgiving me, if you could understand what I'm trying to sort of say, you know. So it was just sort of a weird place for me. But my main thing also is that I wanted to make it right. And if it took me going through whatever I went through, if it took me, you know, being with a husband that owned 10 guns, and no matter what I had to go through, I was willing to do it to make it right with God again. And
so here we go. I mean, you're in the midst of a marriage that is swarming with domestic violence and all the emotional abuse and more that goes along with that. And then your determination to continue to fight through it to save your marriage. At some point, you know, we get weary and weak, and that's what happened. And here we are now. The enemy has taken the opportunity to saturate you with guilt and condemnation, which is not of God. But basically, what he was trying to do was to strip you of your self-esteem, strip you of your strength. And you said that it was just the guilt just overwhelmed you, and your faith was greater and stronger than that. And it is, and it was. But the enemy took that opportunity to try to cripple your faith by causing you to feel shame and guilt and condemnation. But what did you do? You went to your knees and you sought God in prayer. You repented before the Lord, and he did forgive you. The hardest part is we have to learn to forgive ourselves. And it takes faith to forgive ourselves. And I am so happy that you did that. And I'm so excited that you're taking this whole scenario and shaming the devil by taking your story transparent. Ladies and gentlemen, she's not just sharing it with you, being transparent about your story and your journey. She's not just sharing this with you on the air with me. She's doing a documentary about her life. She's written a book about her life. She is going public about her life, so that others can understand, too, that there is no one greater than the God we serve, that if we lean on him, We pray and we open up our heart to allow him to heal us when we're broken. If we lean on him for strength and trust, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish in him, and there is nothing that he cannot bring us through. She is so humble as she shares that it's not her, it's not by her strength, but by the strength of the Lord that pulled her through. And that's exactly how she wants to encourage each and every one of us. There is nothing too hard for God, and it is nothing that we do on our own. Is that right, Ruthie? Is that the message that you want to get through to the audience?
Yeah, that is so true, because, you know, I understand now, obviously I'm wiser, and I understand that, you know, obviously that God forgives, and that I don't want other women to, you know, to go through what I went through because of guilt and because of feeling like at the hands of someone else is the only way you could be forgiven. And I want them to understand that God, you know, that God loves us in spite of ourselves, and that don't stay in a situation where it's going to cost you your life because of your guilt. Because when other people don't forgive us, God forgives us. And when other people throw away, God treasures. And so it took me a while to understand that and to believe that. And God spared me for a reason. Through all of that, through all of the guilt and shame, he spared me for a reason. And he still continues to use me for some reason. So I'm very humble and very thankful that he still sees fit, you know, to use me in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my imperfections, and that he's used me, that he's put me on a platform where I can touch a lot of people's lives. And so, and one of the reasons, Beverly, that I want to be transparent, I want to share, is, you know, it's not just for me, really, it's for other women that might be going through this, to be a voice for other women that might be afraid. That's not a profile, a certain profile of women that experience domestic violence. And you would be amazed that since I have, you know, come out about it, the women that would share with me, like, just out, you know, out the mouth, just like, you know what, I went through it, I know somebody else, you know, went through it. And people, it's an embarrassing situation. You feel like maybe you deserve it. So a lot of women don't even open up about it because they might be, you know, it may be with someone that no one would believe it, or you would look, you know, you look ignorant, or you look, you know, I don't know. It's sort of an embarrassing situation. So they'd rather just keep it hush hush, and because, you know, they just don't feel comfortable sharing it. So I want to be a voice for them and let women know, yes, I went through it, but I overcame it. You know, God saw fit for me to endure, and he's using me, continue to use me, and that I continue to, that even though you feel like nobody at one time, you feel worthless, you feel that, you know, you just feel like you feel small, you feel you've been demeaned, and you've been, I don't know, you've been sort of brought down low, and you just, you know, they're saying that words, you know, sticks and stone may break my bones, but words should never hurt me. That's it used to be the old saying, but sticks and stone will break my bones, but words break my heart. And so you've been broken down so much to where you feel like, you know, that you are nobody, you know. And so when I was at that place, and God just kept giving me that little hope, like, no, you're okay, you know. And it was just weird. It's like I go out and I'll speak, or I go out and people think, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, because, oh, you play great, I love what you do. And then I get home and I feel like, you know, that I'm a nobody. I've been told, you know, don't people pretend they love you, they don't love, you know. You know, you just sort of hear things, but you go back and forth, but God gave me enough to hold on. And so that's what I really, my encouragement to any woman that might listen, might be going through what I went through, even worse. I'm like, there's way worse situations than what I went through. But I want you to know that no matter what you've done, God loves you. He wants to embrace you, you know, through this difficult time. Make sure you, you know, don't live through this alone. Share it with someone. You know, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to not be perfect. But know that you still, God created you for a reason, and that you still have a purpose to fulfill. And please, please believe that. When you look in the mirror, please believe that you're somewhat special and that God has something special for you, that you have your own set of fingerprints, and that you've been uniquely designed. And that when it talks about aromas, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And that I really pray that you really hold on to that. Hold on to the book of Romans, you know, chapter 8.
So, you know, Ruthie, I'm just sitting here smiling. I can tell you, as a servant of the Lord and a woman of God, that you have just turned your weakness into a strength by witnessing to everyone that will listen to this broadcast, by being transparent about your own life, by allowing the Lord to use your journey and bringing it into a mighty victory so that you can share the truth with others to bring them through theirs through hope and faith. You have, that weakness has been turned into a mighty strength. Ladies and gentlemen, you must purchase her book. I said that it's entitled The Ride of a Lifetime. We must look out for her documentary that's coming up about her life. And I want you also to know that Ruthie is a sought-after speaker. She speaks on several topics, to women, to men, and she has a passion for young adults. She speaks on how attitude is everything. Once again, spreading the news and the nuggets that her father has shared with her. Overcoming adversity, how to exceed expectations, finding the beauty in the struggle, keep aiming high. She talks about family and the value of love and accountability and working as a team. Ruthie, would you give them information on how they can connect with you so that you can keep the audience abreast of all these things that are coming out? Do you have a Facebook that they can connect with you with?
Yes, definitely my Facebook, Ruthie Bolton, and they might see a couple ones, but the one that has the cover, A Ride of a Lifetime, is the one they should go to. It has a book cover as my cover page titled The Ride of a Lifetime. Go to that. Give me your comments on the show. Let me know if you're interested in a book. And if you want to purchase a book, at the moment, my website is under construction, unfortunately, but my publicist email is C as in Charles, T as in Tom, E as in Eric, D as in David, D as in David at AOL.com. So it's CTEDD at AOL.com. And you can email Charles at Publicist if you would like a book. And if you want more information on my documentary, you can go to Ruthie Bolton Film, that's RUTHIEBOLTONFILM.com, RuthieBoltonFilm.com. But a great way to stay in touch with me also is just to stay in touch with me on my Facebook, because I will be updating you on when the documentary will be finishing up. We're actually going to be doing a fundraising campaign for it. We're also actually probably going to eventually be doing a movie also on my life story. And so there's a lot of different things going to be happening, but you can find out everything through my Facebook. I will have my website link on my Facebook probably by sometime next week. But I appreciate everyone's support. And like I said, I just really want to use all of these tools just to empower people. And like you said earlier, my quote is that at the end of the day, is that you see me out, you know, at the mall, you see me out, you know, out and about, or you see me, I want you to know that my life is more than just about basketball. My life is more than just about basketball. It's about impacting life, and it's about giving back, and it's about, you know, if I don't help impact your life, to me, the basketball means nothing. So that was just a gift that God gave me, but my true purpose